high fertility rates, and low economic growth. We have seen that high fertility rates should impede per capita economic growth for both microeconomic and macroeconomic reasons. At the household level, higher fertility means less investment in each child's human capital, including nutrition, health care, and education. At the national level, higher population growth means that more capital investment must be devoted simply to expanding the number of schools, clinics, paved road, and other infrastructure just to keep up with population growth, and less can therefore be devoted to improving average services per person. In economic jargon, we say that saving must be devoted to capital widening to keep up with population growth rather than capital deepening to raise the capital stock per person. One test of this is the cross-country evidence on economic growth. We can examine whether countries with high fertility rates indeed have lower growth rates of income per person. The standard tests have been carried out by the leaders of empirical growth modeling, Robert Barrow and Xavier Sala-E-Martin. Their statistical model accounts for each country's average annual growth rate of income per person according to various characteristics of the country, including the level of income per person, the average educational attainment, the life expectancy, an indicator of the rule of law, and other variables, including the total fertility rate. The TFR is shown to have a strong, statistically significant negative effect on economic growth. Consider two countries that are identical in all respects, except that one has a fertility rate of 6 and the other a fertility rate of 2. According to the statistical result of the Barrow and Sala-E-Martin study, the high fertility country will have per capita income growth that is 1.3 percentage points per year lower than the growth of the low fertility country. That's a whopping negative effect of high fertility. Population policies and the reduction in fertility. It might be supposed that fertility choices are among the most private of all decisions and the least amenable to government actions, except perhaps by coercion. Yes, societies will pass through a demographic transition, but it would seem to be one that can, should, and will be determined by individual choices, not by government policies. Indeed, for today's rich countries of Western Europe and the United States, the demographic transition that took place during the 20th century occurred largely through such decision-making of individual households. Yet the same has not been the case in the poorer countries. Their demographic transitions, where they have occurred, have typically been accelerated and even triggered by proactive government policies. Since governments have played a key role in the rapid decline in mortality rates of young children, for example, through provision of immunizations and safe drinking water, they have also had to step in to promote a rapid decline in fertility to accompany the decline in mortality. Experience has shown that households must be made aware of their legal rights, for example, to contraception, and technological options. Recent decades have brought enormous advances in contraceptive choice, including the pill, intrauterine devices, injectables, implants, and more. Government programs have been critical in making households aware of the safety, convenience, and efficacy of these options, and in many cases in providing contraceptive services to the many households in the developing countries that are too poor to afford contraceptive services on their own. Without government support, fertility rates will remain far above desired levels. This is also the case because fertility choices are strongly conditioned by social norms. Government-led advocacy can play an important role in changing ancient customs, which generally favor large families. After all, these customs emerged over centuries or even millennia of high rates of child mortality from infectious diseases. The case for public leadership in fertility reduction was increasingly accepted throughout the world after 1960, as former colonies gained their independence and the family planning successes of one country spread to the next. The first family planning program was initiated by Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru of India in 1951. Pakistan's came soon after. Private foundations and non-governmental organizations joined the effort, including the formation of the Population Council in 1952 and the start of Ford Foundation financing of India's population programs in 1959. By the 1960s, continued rapid population growth in the poor countries was being viewed as a global threat. The U.S. government came to understand rightly that very high fertility rates threatened political stability by creating a huge bulge of youth, often carrying the burdens of household poverty, hunger, and rural underemployment. Moreover, there were increasing fears that the global population boom would outstrip the world's food supply, making Malthus's original prediction come true 1¾ centuries after the prediction was first made.